Today we begin week two of Hearing the Voice of God, and today's the first day. Thank you for coming back and making this a part of your life. I know you're going to be blessed. Let's look at today's memory verse. It's 1 Samuel 3:10. Speak, for your servant is listening. 1 Samuel 3:10. And we want to also review the principles for hearing God's voice. Number one, God is my Father. Number two, my Father has a plan for my life. And number three, my Father wants to make known the plan for my life. You know, as we talk about hearing God's voice, there's a principle we need to take a look at. And it's a simple principle. It's not some highfalutin theology. It's something simple, something that you experience in life. And we can look to Matthew 7:7-11 to learn this principle. Matthew 7:7-11 says this: ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. Or what man of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? Now here's the part. Here's the principle. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? What's the principle here? Is Jesus is saying, here we are. We're sinners, yet we want to do good for our children. Fathers want to do good for their children. And he's using that to show us what God the Father is like. If you're evil, you're sinful, you do things that are wrong, and yet you want to do good for your children, how much more God the Father wants to do good for you? The principle is this, that good fathers speak to their children. You want to know what God the Father is like? Look to the best earthly father. And that's just a smidgen, just a slight taste of the goodness of God the Eternal Father's. And I think we can all agree on this, though it might not be our experience, unfortunately. But the truth is, we know in our hearts that good fathers speak to their children. Now, if you're in a situation where maybe you didn't have the best of relationships with your dad, I'm really sorry that that's the situation. But it doesn't change the truth. The truth is, good fathers speak to their children. And God is our Father. Isn't that our first principle? Our first principle in hearing from God is that God is my Father. And since God is a Father, he wants to speak to us. You know, years ago when I was really young, we had a Mazda. Do you remember those Mazda cars? And we went camping up in Payson, Arizona, which was, back then, it was a real small town. We went camping outside of Payson. On the way back from camping, we had to go over a stream that ran over the road. And when we drove our car into that stream, water splashed up and broke the distributor cap. So here we are, out in the middle of the woods, stranded in the middle of a stream. The Mazda is dead. Well, I get out of the car and there with my wife, and I said, okay, let's pray. And we prayed and we asked God to send us someone. This is a true story. We asked God to send us someone. And right when we said in Jesus' name, this truck came over the hill down into the valley where we were. The guy pulled up next to us in the truck and said, can I help you? And got out of the truck, and my gosh, if he wasn't a mechanic. So he took a look at our car, and I told him the distributor was cracked, and he said, do you have any Vaseline? Well, at that time, we only had one child, Sean. So in the olden days, you didn't have all the fancy things. Olden days, I'm not that old. But anyways, you didn't have all these fancy things that you put on babies' bottoms when you changed their diapers. Back then, you just put Vaseline. He said, do you have any Vaseline? Of course we had Vaseline. We had a baby. He took that Vaseline and he rubbed it inside the distributor cap, and that sealed it up. And he said, that's enough to get you back into town. But I'm going to tell you right now, he said, there's nobody that has foreign car parts in town. They have to be ordered. He said, "Now don't try to get back home with this car. You'll not make it." Well, we drove back into town. We pulled up to an auto parts store. And I'm going to clean this up, but there was a sign that said, "No Japanese parts." Now, it didn't say that. It used a slang for the Japanese people. But it said, "No Japanese parts." So there's no other auto parts store in town. I went into the store, and I said to the gentleman at the counter, I said, "Hey, I've got a Mazda. I need a distributor cap." And he looked at it, and he said, "Didn't you see the sign?" And I said, "Sure, I saw the sign." And he said, "We don't have Japanese parts." And again, he used the vernacular for that. And I said, "Oh, boy, we've got a baby. We're stranded here." He said, "I'm sorry, I can't help you." Went back out to the car, took my wife's hand, and we prayed. And I am telling you the truth. The Lord told me, go back in there and tell him to look in this certain place and you'll find a part. So I went back into the auto parts store and walked up to the counter, and the gentleman looked at me with a curious look, and I said, I'm here for a distributor cap for a Mazda. And he said, "I'm telling you, we don't have those parts." And I looked at him and I said, "Do you believe in God?" And he looked at me and he said, "You're not going to push religion on me." I always get that line. But anyways, "You're not going to push religion." And I said, "Well, I'm just going to tell you this. I went outside and I prayed." He's rolling his eyes. "Went outside and I prayed, and the Lord told me that you have this part, and it's on such and such aisle. You go down this aisle to such and such section, it'll be on that shelf." And he looked at me and he said, "Are you kidding?" And I said, no, go look. He said, "That's not even the right place for the distributor caps. That's where we have parts for brakes." And I said, "Well, humor me in it. Go take a look." So he went to the whatever that aisle was. And then he said, "Okay, what section is it in?" So I told him the section, and he counted out loud to mock me. Went down to that section, and I said, "Okay, on the third shelf, look up there." So he's looking on the third shelf, and I said, "Are you digging around?" And he says, "Okay, I'll dig around." And all of a sudden I heard, "Oh, my," and I won't say what he said, "Oh, my." And he came walking out with a Mazda distributor cap. I looked at him and I said, how much do I owe you?" And he said to me, "I don't have a book for these parts. I have no idea where this came from." And I said, "Well, I know where it came from." He says, yeah, we know where it came. "Yeah, you're right. We know where it came from." And I said, "Well, how much do I owe you?" And he said to me, "I don't carry these parts. It's yours." I walked out of that car, put that distributor cap on. It was perfectly fine, and drove home. Never changed the distributor cap ever again on that car. You see, God is a good father. He loves us, and he longs to speak to us. Psalm 32, verses 8 through 9. "I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Do not be like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with a bit and bridle, else it will not keep with you." See, we don't want to be like a horse, or we want to listen to God and do what he says. You know, in The Imitation of Christ, in book 3, chapter 2, I want to encourage you to read that sometime. You'll find that in your study guide. And it's powerful. It speaks about, "Don't let anybody speak to me, God. I don't want to hear from Moses. I don't want to hear from the prophets. I want to hear from you." There's a presumption in here of the writer of The Imitation of Christ that God would speak. Read that, would you? Read it in your studying guide. And it says in Exodus chapter 33, verses 7 through 11, that Moses would go out to meet God in the tent of meeting. And when he went in there, that a cloud would come. And it says this in verse 11. "Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend." In the Precious Blood Confraternity edition of Imitation of Christ, in book 3, chapter 28, there's a picture of Moses kneeling before the veil to the Holy of Holies. His hands are outstretched in adoration, and the glory of the Lord makes the veil translucent. Moses is meeting with God, speaking to him as one man speaks to another, as a man speaks to his friend. I've got to tell you the truth. When I saw that picture, when I read Exodus chapter 33, verses 7 through 11, I've got to tell you the truth. I was in awe, and I was also envious of Moses. I wanted a relationship with God like that. I remember reading the book, He and I. If you haven't read that book, it's a great read, He and I. And it's about Jesus who comes to this woman and just conversations that they have. I remember I watched that movie, The Day the Sun Danced, you know, about Our Lady of Fatima. And I used to pray the rosary with my eye just cracked open, wondering if she was going to come and she was going to be there. Now, why not? Why not? Why couldn't she come to me? Why couldn't God come to you and speak to you the way he did to Moses? I'm going to tell you the truth. He wants to, but our lack of faith stands in the way. When I was a teenager, there was a cave up in the desert, and I used to go to that cave, and I was a teenager. For the weekend, I would go Saturday and then come back Saturday night. Sunday, I'd go to Mass, and I'd go back up on Sunday during the day. I'd spend my day in that cave, kneeling before God like Moses kneeling before the Holy Holies. And this is what I'd pray. 1 Samuel 3:10, speak, for your servant is listening. Speak, for your servant is listening. 1 Samuel 3:10. Speak, Lord. God wants to speak to you. Have faith, church. Believe. Say this after me, would you, right now? Make it a prayer. Father, I know that this is true. You want to speak to me. See, the first step is to have faith that God wants to speak to you. But the second step is to listen. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. To hear God speak, you must make room in your life to hear him speak. This means time alone with him, ready to listen to him. When you pray, make sure you have time to listen. Here's an idea. Instead of starting your prayer with you talking, why don't you start your prayer with listening? Just sit before God and say, Lord, here I am. Speak, Lord. I'm your son, and I'm listening. Speak, Lord. I'm your daughter. I'm listening. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. See what happens. My goal today is to get you to commit to start listening when you pray. Now, a lot of people say, but what's God going to sound like, Brennan, when I go to pray? There's two things. Usually God is going to sound like a still small voice. That's number one. And usually it's going to sound like a familiar voice. In 1 Kings 19:9 through 13, we hear the story of the prophet Elijah, and he's in a cave, and God, and there's a mighty wind, God's not in the wind, there's a fire, God's not in the fire, there's an earthquake, God's not in the earthquake. But then there's a still small voice, and he hides his face because God is there. God will also speak in a familiar voice. So first of all, it's going to be a still voice. It's going to be deep within you. Maybe he'll speak without. I don't know, but it's usually within. And it's going to be a familiar voice. Remember that story of the prophet Samuel? And he wakes up in the middle of the night, Samuel, Samuel. And he goes to Eli and he says, what is it? And Eli goes, go back to sleep. And finally, he keeps hearing Samuel, Samuel. And he goes to Eli and Samuel says to him, go back and say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. What can we learn from this story? Well, why did he go to Eli? Because the voice must have sounded like a familiar voice. When God spoke, it must have sounded familiar. And Eli said, go back and say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. God's voice will be a familiar voice. It'll be a voice within you, and it'll be a familiar voice. It'll probably sound like your voice. And you hear your voice all the time inside of you. So you know there's a voice within you, but this is God's voice that we're listening for. So first step, have faith that God will speak to you. Second step, start listening. And when God speaks, he usually speaks in a still small voice, and it's usually a familiar voice. 1 Samuel 3:10, speak, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening.